The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? Recently, my household got caught up in a craze that is going all around the country for the last months and perhaps a year. We finally caved in about 2 weeks ago and let our two-year-old, just about three-year-old now, watch the movie Frozen. Who has seen Frozen out there? Yeah, so 2 weeks ago we watched it for the first time, and we went to bed that night, and on the monitor it was quiet for about an hour, and then all of a sudden from little Peyton's bedroom we heard, "Let it go." And we look, and she's standing up and singing in her bed, and I thought, oh boy, what have we done? And sure enough, watching it 1,000 times later over the last 2 weeks, something came to me as I was watching it this week. I was watching it with her, and there is a certain song in the movie that I'm going to show you here in a second. And it spoke to me because I thought this would be a good intro to the sermon. Because see, in our sermon today, we're going to be talking about what we think we need versus what God actually tells us we need. And so I want to introduce you to a character in the movie. His name is Olaf. He's a snowman. And he, being a snowman, desperately wants to see summer, even though he has no idea what effect that is going to have on him. And I want you to watch the song. It's a cute little song, about 2 minutes long. And then we're going to talk about how this relates to us in our message today. And so we have that video.
Really? I'm guessing you don't have much experience with heat.
Nope. But sometimes I like to close my eyes and imagine what it'd be like when summer does come. Bees will buzz, kids will blow dandelion fuzz, and I'll be doing whatever snow does in summer. I drink in my hand, my snow up against the burning sand, probably getting gorgeously tanned in summer. I'll finally see a summer breeze blow away a winter storm, and find out what happens to solid water when it gets warm. And I can't wait to see what my buddies all think of me. Just imagine how much cooler I'll be in summer. Da 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 ba 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 ba. The hot and the cold are both so intense, put them together, it just makes sense. Winter's a good time to stay in and cuddle, but put me in summer and I'll be a happy snowman. When life gets rough, I like to hold on to my dream, relaxing in the summer sun, just letting off steam. Oh, the sky will be blue, and you guys will be there too, when I finally do what frozen things do in summer.
I'm gonna tell him.
Don't you dare.
It's a cute little song. But what's interesting about it is, obviously, the snowman has no idea the fate that awaits him if he actually gets what it is he's wishing for. And when we talk about this today, that's going to be very much the same theme for us as human beings. Because the funny thing is we've all heard the phrase before, when God really wants to punish us, he gives us exactly what we pray for. Because we think we know best. We think we know the answer to all the questions. We think we know exactly what we need. And God says, yeah, I know something different. You know, it's interesting. My wife loves on Facebook when people do this, and there's websites, you know, the Why My Kid Is Crying. Have any of you seen this? And what happens is parents, they'll take a picture of their kid throwing an absolute tantrum, and then they'll put the ridiculous reason why they're crying. You know, like, you'll see this kid, like, just screaming, and it'll say, my kid is crying because the dog, the neighbor's dog is not out next door. And it'll, you know, you'll see another kid crying, and they'll say, my kid is crying because he asked for cheese and I gave it to him. And it's just these ridiculous things why kids cry, and there's no reason. Two of my favorites are this. One, I always remember, there's this kid, and he's in the middle of the floor, and he's just throwing this tantrum that you can tell by the picture. He is just going nuts. And it says, my kid is crying because I wouldn't let him eat styrofoam. And then my favorite one, there is this little girl, and she is laying belly down on the floor in the bathroom, and she is throwing a fit, tears screaming. And it says, my kid is crying because I wouldn't let her lick the toilet seat. And we can laugh at that, and we can say, how silly of those kids to think that's what they wanted to do. But they are so earnest in their belief that that's what they want to do. But what's interesting is when we look at the relationship between us and God, there are plenty, believe me, there are plenty of your prayers that God goes, that's just ridiculous. No. And we sit there and we pout and we say, but God, this is what I need. And God says, no. That's not what you need. And this is the battle for us today, is what we think we need versus what we really need. And see, the problem is this. When we don't get what we think we need, we begin to pout with God. Sometimes we even get angry and mad and walk away from God. All because we think we know best. And see, today, as we look at this text is going to point out that God has a plan, a huge plan that he is revealing to us, a plan for salvation, a plan for hope, a plan for everything. God is going to reveal to us his plan. And this is a plan that will it will answer every question. It will fix every issue. It will repair everything that is broken. And this is how it's all going to begin. That's the text that we have for us today. And our question for ourselves today is this. Do we trust God that he knows what he's doing? As he reveals this plan to us, as he tells us, I'm going to give you a plan for everything you need to know. Do we trust him that he knows what he's doing? Do we trust him that he's right? And do we trust in him alone? And so in our text, what we see is the prophet Isaiah, hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, is prophesying that there is going to be a messenger that comes before the Messiah himself. And this messenger is going to pave the way. Then comes on the scene John the Baptist. John the Baptist is baptizing people. He's saying, repent. But then he ends our text today by saying this. There is one to come. And he is far greater than you can even imagine. He is far greater than me. And he is far greater than all of this that you see around you. And this is an important lesson. He is far greater than me in everything you see around you. Because I think today our challenge is this, that we take that lesson too lightly. You see, life is filled with challenges. There are so many struggles for us to endure in this life. And for a lot of people, they try and figure out a way to handle these, to cope with it, to work through this. And not everybody. There are some that just succumb to it and give up. But most people try to find answers for all of these problems, all of these struggles of their lives. And for some, that's religion. For some, it's therapy. For some, it's spiritual disciplines or physical disciplines. Whatever they need to get through what's challenging them. And in this life, this is the truth. There are only two options. You are either trying to stay afloat, or you've given up and started sinking. That's it. And so there has always been this race from the beginning of time to now. There's always been this race to find the best flotation device in this life and to find it with the least amount of effort given. And so everyone's out there and they're all picking their own flotation device. Well, I think this is going to save me. I think this is going to save me. I think this is going to float. And they cling to these things. And then they take their chances. And for some, they lose out pretty quickly. The weight of themselves and the weight that they carry and their burdens, it just can't hold them, and it gives way. For some, what they're floating on wasn't built to take wind and waves. Or for some, they lose what they were floating on in the storms of the lives. And what we know is that when one of our flotation devices fails, all of a sudden desperation kicks in, and we start to cling to anything and everything to save us. And then when that fails, we begin to try and take others down off what they are floating on. When we can't find the answers, then we want to take everybody else down. We either, out of self-preservation or fear of going into the dark abyss alone, we want to take them off theirs. And see, the good news for us today in our text is that the voice crying out in the wilderness comes to us and he says, wait, I have a very simple answer for you. Do you want the flotation device that will weather all storms and stand the test of time? It's Jesus. That's the good news that's coming. And here's the thing. Many people, including many people in this room right now, say, that's great news. I love Jesus. I will cling to Jesus. But I'm also going to cling to everything else too. I have Jesus, but I'm also going to hold to my self-help books and my gurus on TV. And I'm going to trust in my different disciplines that I can have. I can do my exercises. I can do my yoga. I can do all these things to protect myself and believe in Jesus. I can do all these things to make sure that I'm still in charge and I'll lean on Jesus when I need Jesus. We hold on to as many flotation devices as possible. And we say, you know what? I'm ready. No matter what happens, I'm good. Because in calm weather, I have this. In stormy seas, I have this. In the huge hurricanes, I have this. And no matter what, I have this foolproof plan where I am safe. I have Jesus and, Jesus and, Jesus and. And here's the problem with that. If it's not Jesus and Jesus alone, it's not going to stand the test of time. And the challenges in your life are going to expose the false disciplines that you cling to for help. And the problem is we might get ourselves into a point where the temptation is to cling to something else stronger than Jesus. You know, when we look at this world around us and we ask ourselves, how am I going to endure this? What am I going to do to survive this? What am I going to cling to? It's an important question to ask. I mean, what do we do with the protests that are going on all over the country right now? Where the African-American culture has come out and said, we can't trust the police, there's police brutality, and they're protesting all over the country, and we have all of these race relations and racism that's coming out. What do we do with that? What is your plan? What are you going to do? What are you clinging to fix it? Are the politicians going to fix it? Are the celebrity pastors going to fix it? What do we do with hate? All the people that hate and the bigotry that's in our country and in our world. What's your plan? What about the verbal abuse that goes out and the physical abuse to all those around us? What are you going to do? How are you going to heal the people that have been affected by abuse? How are you going to stop and protect the people that are trying to abuse? Maybe you're on the other side of this. Maybe you're the abuser. Maybe whenever you lose your temper, you say things you really shouldn't say. And you tear people down that you love. Maybe you even lose your temper and put your hands on them. Push them around because you can't control yourself. What are you going to cling to? What's your plan to fix this? What do we do for those that have been victims of sexual assault and rape? How do we fix it? What do we do? How do we stop it? How do we prevent it? What do we do for all those that are hungry, that are thirsty, that don't have clean water? What do we do for all those that don't have money? What do we do for world poverty? Do we just trust that the aid organizations are going to fix it all? Is that our hope? Is that what's going to magically do it? What do we do for all those that are not loved? All those that are ignored, all those that are neglected, all those that are not cared for. What is your plan? What do you cling to that's going to do it? How are you going to do something? What do you do with diseases? How are we going to stop cancer? Are we going to stop cancer? How are we going to stop Ebola? Are we safe What do we do with all of our loved ones that are disabled? How are we going to help them? What do we do with all of our healths? You know, every time we go to the doctor, I don't know if you're like me, there's a new thing I can't eat, and there's a new thing I have to cut back on. And are you like me? Every time I go, it's bad news. What are you going to do to fix yourself? What are you going to do for all those that have body image problems and have eating disorders? How are you going to help them? Give them a self-help book? Is that your plan? What about all those battling mental illness? Are the pills going to fix them? What about depression? You're going to give them a hug and walk away and say, there, you're fixed. What about those that are self-destructive and suicidal? You're going to tell them to buck up and soldier on? What about all those that lack intelligence and are manipulated and taken advantage of every single day? Are you going to defend them? How are you going to do it? What's your plan? What about all those that are affected by theft and robbery? Are you going to go out and get justice? Are you going to figure out what needs to happen? Are you going to seek justice and make it right? Are you going to get back what you lost? What about violence? You know, it's ridiculous, the terrible violence we see. You know, we see it on the news all the time. I was watching the news, and they were at a football game, a 49ers football game, in the bathroom. A man is standing in line for a urinal, and he's a Kansas City Chief fan at the San Francisco game, and he pokes the guy in front of him, a San Francisco fan, and lets him know there's a urinal. The guy in front of him that gets poked decides he's going to make a scene. Turns to his buddy and says, videotape this. Turns around, clocks the guy in the temple. The guy goes straight back on his head. He's in a coma in front of his kids. That's the world we live in. What are you going to do to stop the violence? How can you live in a world where you can just be at a game with your kids and someone clocks you for letting you know that there's a urinal open just because you're wearing the other shirt? What do we do in a world like that? What do we do in a world full of murder? We have families here at this church that have been affected by murder. What do we do? What do we do about fear? All the people that are stuck inside because of all the fears of their lives. What do we do about the apathetic that can't go out because they have no drive, they have no will to live? How do we encourage them? What do we do about all those that are trying to cope through drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and pill abuse? Do we just leave it to the organizations out there? Are they going to fix it all? Is that our plan? What about marital problems? Are you and your spouse doing okay? Are you playing nice right now and you're going to go home and not talk to each other for the rest of the day? Are you going to let that fight keep going? What's your plan? How are you going to fix your marriage? What about sexual integrity in the marriage? How are you going to fix it when your spouse has cheated on you? Maybe you have cheated on your spouse and they have no idea right now. How are you going to wrestle with that guilt? How are you going to mend those bridges? What are you going to do with your kids? You got all the answers there, parents? How are you going to protect them from bullying? A TV commercial campaign to say stop it? Is that what's going to fix it? How are you going to protect them from the predators that are out there? How are you going to help them with your grades? How are you going to help them find their lives and go that course that they're called to go? How are you going to protect them from the mistakes that are going to ruin their lives? How are you going to encourage yourself as a parent to work on your skills and be a better parent? What about government? How are we going to fix the government? How are we going to fix the media? How are we going to stop pollution? How are we going to stop the terrorists? What about the natural disasters, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the fires, the floods, the earthquakes, the famines? What about when two school buses collide on a street and kids are killed? How are we going to stop that? How do we cope with that? What is your plan? What are you clinging to in those things? What are we going to do about all the broken homes and divorce? What are we going to do about all the loss of innocence of our kids? What are we going to do about gambling debts? What are we going to do about the false religions out there that are tossing out these faulty life preservers and saying, cling to this, you'll float, and they're not going to make it? What are we going to do about those? How about this, last one? How about what are we going to do about death? Is science going to find a way to let us live forever? Is that what we're clinging to? See, the thing is when I look at you and I say, what is your plan? What are you clinging to? You look at that whole mess of things, and you know what? You should be overwhelmed. But here's the stupid thing. A lot of us have plans for how we're going to do all that. The stupid thing is it's supposed to overwhelm us. It's supposed to make us say, I don't have the answers. But instead, we spend so much time sitting there going, well, for this problem, I'm going to try this. And I think I can figure out this way. And I think I can prevent this. And I can do this. And we come up with our own plan of how we're going to battle this. Jesus, I have you, but I got my own plan for how I'm going to tackle a bunch of these things. Or eventually we get overwhelmed and we step back and we say, God, what is your plan? How are you going to do this? I fail to try and tackle this, to endure this, to find a way to persevere through this. God, what is your plan? And you know what the good news is? When it's up to us to figure it out, there is no hope, there is no joy, and there is no salvation. But here's the good news. God looks at you and goes, oh, yeah, I've already got a plan. I've already got a plan. I've already got it fixed. I've already got it in the works. Do you want to know what the plan is? See, I see all of this. I see it so much clearer and so much deeper than you. And I have the answer already. And the answer is, I sent my son, Jesus Christ. You see, you think you know what you need. You think you know what you should cling to in certain things. When you have marriage problems, well, we have this self-help book. When this happens, well, I have this friend that can help me out. When this happens, oh, I have this answer for it. We think we know what we need, but God comes to us and says, what you think you need, you're all wrong. I know what you need. And what you really need is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And we step back and we go, well, God, that actually sounds a little cookie cutter answer. Sounds like a little too perfect, like the little kid's answer. Oh, Jesus fixes it all. And Jesus comes back and he says, okay, so let's play this game. You're saying the all-powerful God, the all-powerful, all-knowing God, is not a better ally than Dr. Phil? You think you're better off listening to the world than the all-powerful God? You think the world is going to help you figure out what I can do? And see, we step back and we say, yeah, but you know what, God? I really know the answers to my life. If I just had a little bit more money, this would be fixed. If my spouse would just do this a little bit differently, it would all be fine. If my boss would just do this differently, let the deadline slide, I'd be okay. If this happened, if you gave me this, if I had that, if this happened, I'd be fine, God. And God says, you fool, listen to me. You sound ridiculous as that snowman. Listen to me. All you need is Jesus. And it's not some cookie cutter answer. It's the truth. He is our advocate. He is the one who will stand before the Lord on our behalf and plead for mercy for us before the Lord. He is our almighty God. He is our Alpha and our Omega. He is the one who is there at the beginning, and he will be there to usher in the end of the ages. He is the arm of the Lord. He is strong and mighty to defend and protect us. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is there to fight and defend us. He is the bread of life to those who hunger. He is the great counselor to those who are in need of comfort. He is our deliverer. He is our redeemer. He is the Holy One of God. He is the great I Am. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the good shepherd. He is the great high priest. He is the head of the church, and he is the heir of all things. He is the Lamb of God. He is the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our Prince of Peace. He will usher in peace that no one can comprehend. He is our rock in all times and in all storms. He is our salvation and our hope and our joy in all bleak and dark situations. He is the Son of the Most High God. And most of all, he is this. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Messiah and our Savior. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, listen very closely. God's telling you tonight, today, I am not sitting on my hands. I am not overwhelmed or dismayed. I am not clueless or uninformed. God comes to you today and he says, I know what is needed in this life. And there is no issue, there is no problem, there is no hurt, there is no pain, there is no evil. There is no loss, there is no ruler, there is no nation, there is no sickness, and there is no sin. There is nothing that I have not given you victory over in, with, and through my Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Do you know that? That in anything and everything, the answer is Jesus. Where do we get our justice? Jesus. Where do we get our hope? Jesus. Where do we get healing? Jesus. Where do we get anything? Jesus. And everything else is a counterfeit substitute that is going to help you sink. It's that simple. See, this is God's plan revealed. This is how God answers everything. His Son, your Savior, Jesus Christ. And friends, today, as we look at our text, the one calling in the wilderness is announcing to us that this is how it all begins. Repent and be baptized. Your Messiah is coming. And friends, I stand here today, and I'm the one calling to you today, saying, repent, be baptized. He's coming again. This is God's plan to fix it all. And it's a glorious plan. And it's the only plan that will stand the test of time. And all God's people said,